Haskell. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, July 5th, 1905. Dear Brother Haskell, we are much pleased with the information contained in your recent letters. In the past, we have labored together under difficulties, and we will continue the same kind of work, making the best use of every advantage. I hope that you and your wife and Sister Wilson and the other members of your working force will talk, not on the negative side, but on the affirmative side of the blessings, the encouraging events, the kindnesses of others. If you look at appearances, let it be for the growth of your faith. Remember that you are laborers together with Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's host. Pray in faith, depending on the power of Him who never fails those who put their trust in Him. I rejoice with you, Brother Haskell, that the gold and silver are the Lord's, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Christ is hungry for fruit, hungry to see large congregations listening to the message of mercy to be given to a perishing world. The end of all things is at hand. The signs foretold by Christ are fast fulfilling. The nations are angry, and the time of the dead has come that they should be judged. There are stormy times before us, but let us not utter one word of unbelief or discouragement. Let us remember that we bear a message of healing to a world filled with sin-sick souls. We have been making earnest calls for help for mission fields, but I know of no more needy field than the South. We shall help you all we can. You will remember the poverty that we met when starting the work in New England, in Boston, New Bedford, and other places. But the difficulties we encountered only made us unite in pushing forward the harder, and we have not forgotten what wonderful victories the Lord gave us. How many times there came upon us trials that almost overpowered us. In every place, heresies came in, and every conceivable error strove for entrance. What were our weapons? Faith and prayer. We were medical missionaries, and we realized the fulfillment of the promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. How manifest was the power of God in healing the sick! What rejoicing, what thanksgiving was heard! We never thought in those days that we should have institutions for healing the sick. We did not suppose that time would last long enough for us to build meeting houses. But all over the United States, we now have sanitariums, and a large corps of intelligent physicians are working earnestly to present the principles of health reform and to point souls to Christ. In those early days, how many seasons of fervent prayer were held? A holy, submissive, Christ-like spirit was breathed upon us, for we knew that the Savior was with us. No one was instructed to spend years in preparation for the work to be done. Practical, earnest knowledge was imparted. There was seen the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Few today are better armed and equipped for service than were the workers of that time. Christianity was seen to be the exemplification of the Holy Spirit's working on human hearts. God's wonderful, miracle-working power was exercised according to our faith. The manifest revealing of the grace of Christ carried a deeper conviction to souls than the logic of man could possibly have carried. When error crowded itself in, and the science of satanic agencies proclaimed itself, as it did in many places, faith and Christ-likeness proved the power of the truth. But I cannot take time to trace the record of all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that attended the proclamation of the truth as we now hold it. The truth of heavenly origin is rapidly extending, and the world may say, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." The great principles of truth brought from the Bible under the Spirit's guidance are of no less importance now than in the beginning of our work. At that time, there were wonderful manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the detection of false doctrines. The counterfeit, which urged itself upon us for recognition, was separated from the true. The prominence given to the words of Scripture was so marked that our faith became established in a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." In every new field that was entered, we contended earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Those of the pioneer laborers who are still living understand that the rebuke of the Holy Spirit was upon all fanatical performances. Elder James White, Elder Andrews, Elder Haskell, Elder Loughborough, and I had to meet the various phases of error that sought to come in as present truth. When these false doctrines strove for entrance, we consulted God in prayer, and He revealed Himself to us.
The great truths that we then received are in print and will speak, for they are the teaching of the Spirit of God and are immortalized. God has justified these truths, which have been traced out under the dictation of the Holy Spirit. We can see today the very same power working that worked when the message was first given, to bring in seductive theories. But the truth for this time is in print, immortalized by the sanction of the Holy Spirit. And when false theories are brought in, they can be distinguished from the true. We prize very highly the old soldiers of the cross, the messengers of God who have been in the work from the passing of the time in 1844 have seen the truth established and settled. Their experience we highly appreciate. These men are to be sustained in their work. Elder Butler and Elder Haskell have been blessed with great light and should, in the southern field, stand as is described in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. God forbid that these aged servants of His should not be sustained in their arduous work of fitting up men and women to engage in the proclamation of the message. These self-sacrificing, self-denying workers are to be respected as chosen of God, precious and worthy. They are men who have had an experience, and they are doing a work that will not ravel out. We commend these laborers in the southern field to the care of the people of God. Wherever they may go, prepare the way before them. May the Lord give them faith and hope and courage and wisdom. We know what it means to have such men on the ground when great perplexity is brought in by those who present misleading theories, taking a text of Scripture and bringing out of it that which God has not placed in it. At such times, it is worth everything to have on the ground men who have proved the falseness of these theories and who do not enter into controversy, but present the clear, straight truths that God has vindicated. We are glad that we have the Word of God and the testimony of the Holy Spirit brought out in pen pictures of the past and the solemn predictions of the future. These things will continue to be living realities to the people of God. The printed truths that the Lord has given us will hold us on the rock, firm and steadfast. We shall not let go the things that were so great a help to us while the work was being established. We are glad that God in His providence has furnished the believers in Nashville with an excellent place of worship. I ask our people in the southern field to help our brethren and sisters in Nashville to raise the money to pay for this building. And I ask our people all over this country to help also. The work in Nashville has been pushed forward amidst poverty and hardship, and I pray that God will move upon the hearts of His people everywhere to send in their gifts for this church building, and also to support the tent effort that is now being made in Nashville. I hope that all will see and appreciate the importance of this work. Elder Haskell and his wife, Elder Butler and Sister Wilson, and others are working hard to present the truth that will stand the test of ages. Let God's aged servants stand with the whole armor on, for God has given them the truth to vindicate. God has His messengers on earth, and angels will be their guides. They will be all taught of God. Instruction is often given by immortal messengers to men. Will this instruction be exchanged for the teaching of science, falsely so called? No, no! Let us stand fast as Christ's soldiers, ever working on the affirmative side. The record given in the 13th chapter of Judges shows how God employs angels to communicate with human beings. So also does the vision of Cornelius, recorded in the 10th chapter of Acts, and the experience of Peter, recorded in the 12th of Acts. I could cite case after case where God has sent His angels to be the powerful helpers of His chosen messengers. God calls upon His servants to study His mind and will. Then, when men come with their curiously invented theories, enter not into controversy with them, but affirm what you know. It is written is to be your weapon. There are men who will try to spin out their fine threads of false theories. Thank God that there are those also who have been taught of Him and who know what is truth. Let the Lord's name be magnified. Do not give up. Do not allow specious errors to come in to tear down the pillars of truth through specious sophistry. Let those who have been taught of God hold up the standard higher and still higher. Let them stand as men enlightened by wisdom from on high. We need men who are born again. Such men will be humble, willing to be taught of God.